The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone. This is Ricky Scaparro, the founder of End Time Headlines, and I want to thank you for joining us in this series of podcast messages regarding prayer and fasting. The following message that you're about to hear is one of many in this series. Although it is an older message, I believe it is very relevant to anyone who is participating in a season of prayer and fasting. I believe the following messages will be both equipping and edifying for your benefit during this time of prayer and fasting. So we thank you for joining us. God bless and enjoy. Let's get into this thing. Luke chapter 4 is where I want to go. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And today we're going to continue, obviously, our series on prayer and fasting. And I want to show you some insights that we can learn from the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness during his time of fasting. Again, if you're just joining us, God bless you from Canada, Melanie. Good to see you. It's good to see our international folks coming on here from outside of the United States. Always love to see that. If you're just joining us, we're continuing our series on prayer and fasting. I want to deal with the subject of lessons that we can learn from the temptations of Jesus when he was in the wilderness during his time of prayer and fasting. So Luke chapter 4 is where we're at. And this is what it says, again, according to the Gospel of Luke. It says, "And then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit unto the wilderness." Somebody say he was led by the Spirit. Just like I've emphasized during this time of fasting, when people ask me, "Well, Brother Ricky, how should I fast? What shall I fast? And how long shall I fast?" And I always tell them, be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to be Spirit led. I cannot determine how long you should fast, what kind of fast you should do, and whatever the case may be. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And here we see where Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days of the devil. Somebody say 40 days. Again, we know according to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus was in a 40-day fast. Now, I'm going to show you something here. And the Bible says in verse 2 that he ate nothing, and afterward, or after the fast, when it had ended, he was very hungry. Now, you've heard me talk about this. Notice that it said he was very hungry, but he was not very thirsty. So this, I believe, implies to us that Jesus did not go on a... Some people say, well, he went 40 days with no food or water. I don't believe that. I believe he drank water, but he did not eat anything for 40 days because it says that he was greatly hungered, but he was not thirsty. Now, look, how many believes... I don't know about you, but if I go more than 8 to 10 hours without anything to drink, I am thirsty. Now, you think that Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he was clothed with flesh and blood like you and I. You don't think he was going to be thirsty after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness? Come on, somebody. But it said he was hungry. He was greatly hungry, but he was not greatly thirsty. So therefore, I believe, from everything I've studied, and many others will agree with this, that Jesus fasted from food. He abstained from eating for 40 days and 40 nights, but he drank water. So again, I want to implore you, do not go an extended period of time without drinking water. Listen, you can go 40 days without eating, but you better drink water because your organs will begin to shut down. Okay? So let's do some recap on this before we go on. Number one, he was led by the Holy Spirit to fast. Number two, and how long he was to fast. And number three, he drank plenty of water, I believe, but he fasted food for 40 days and 40 nights. And number four, we know that temptations came during the fast. Oh, if you're taking notes, write that down. His three fiery darts of temptation by the devil himself. Come on. The devil didn't send a lightweight imp. He didn't send a principality. The devil himself appeared to Jesus and tempted him with three temptations that we're going to talk about today. Okay? So again, We know he said the devil comes to him. We can go on down here, verse 5. Now, this is some stuff I want to show you here. Okay? The devil comes straight at him. Now, listen, I got to tell you. Listen, if you've not been attacked, if you've not been gone through, if you've not experienced opposition, adversity, or any attacks of the enemy, you can guarantee if you set your mind to begin to go on a time of prayer and fasting, you can take it to the bank. You're going to experience opposition. You're going to experience persecution. And you're going to experience adversity because the enemy will send all hell against you to try to keep, number one, to get you not to fast. Number two, to get you to break your fast. And number three, to begin to keep, to prevent you from remaining focused of why you began to fast to begin with. So here we go. Jesus, led by the Spirit, begins his 40 days of prayer and fasting, and Satan himself appears to him. Now watch this. He says, if you're the Son of God, the very first thing that Satan began to come at him with was his identity. Come on, somebody. The enemy came after his identity. You know how many people are watching by Facebook, by YouTube? The enemy has come and he's tempted you to try to begin to question your identity in Christ. He's begin to try to question your destiny. He's trying to get you to second guess your purpose. Come on, somebody, and what you're called to do. So the enemy comes and says, if you're the Son of God, if Satan knew exactly who he was, even the demons and the Gadarenes came to him and says, thou Son of God, have you come to torment us before our time? So Satan knew who he was. The devils of hell knew who he was. But he says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now this is very interesting. All right, this is why I want to show you this. It's interesting that he tempted him. We're going to get into these three temptations, but I want to show you this. I want to show you how the enemy will come at us and he will attack us with three weapons that are the oldest weapons in Satan's handbook. These are the weapons that's been around from the beginning of time, and he still uses these weapons because they're successful, because they have a very high success rate, and he's still able to attack Christians and overcome them with these three temptations, all right? These three attacks of temptation are the same three methods that he's used. Now let's go over to the book of 1 John. I'm going to show you what they are. 1 John, we're going to go over to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Again, we're in the book of 1 John chapter 2. And you guys will probably, I've got several Bibles I go through, different ones, and sometimes I find difficulty finding come on, all my preachers know what I'm talking about. You got your preaching Bible, you got your study Bible, and you've got your reading Bible, and they're all different. Here you go. 1 John 2:15, it says, John speaking says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And on a side note, did you know, and I put this on our Facebook page today as a little bit of insight. And let me just read this to you. I'm going to read you what I posted today because this goes right along with what we're sharing with you today in this message. When we enter into a time of prayer and fasting, what it does is it fine-tunes us and our ability to hear more clearly from the Father. Did you know the Heavenly Father is always speaking? But it's many times we have very much difficulty hearing him. A great man of God by the name of Fred Stone once said that God is always speaking, or let me rephrase this. He said that any man can speak to God, but few men can hear from God. Let me say that again. Fred Stone once said that any man can speak to God, but there's very few men that have learned to hear from God. So I want to encourage you again, when we enter into a time of prayer and fasting, what it does is it fine tunes our ability or our capability to hear more clearly from our Heavenly Father and to be able to receive a deeper understanding of His Word in our lives. What this is like is, like, if you remember, if many of you guys, including myself, if you're at least 40 years of age, you'll remember the times of standard television. You remember the times that we had an antenna on a television and we had three channels. Come on, somebody. We had a knob and 3 to 5 channels. We had to get up with an antenna with some foil, and we had a tune. Bloop, bloop, bloop. We'd have 3 or 5 channels that we had. And the picture was all right, but it's nowhere like it is today. But then as the progression or the transition of television came along, the picture became more clear. It became more focused. It became sharper and more and more stronger in high definition. So we went from over the air to standard definition. Then we went to high definition. Now today we have what's called 4K. Definition television. So what happened is the resolution became clearer and clearer and sharper and sharper. So now today, what used to be pretty clear and what was pretty sharp under standard terms is now dull, and it's not very sharp in comparison to most of us that are watching this today. We no longer have one of these big, I call these monster televisions that weigh about 800 pounds. It took about 4 people to haul out of your living room to set on your floor. Now everyone's got this picture frame with television that you can hang on your wall that's light as a feather, that has a picture that's high definition, that you can see every blade of grass. You can see, come on, you can see imperfections on people's faces that you couldn't see before. And it's a sharper focus. Listen, it's always been there. The imperfections have always been there. The blades of grass have always been there. The ripples in the water have always been there. But what has happened is our perspective has changed. Okay? So what fasting does, it begins to reveal things to us in our lives from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit that's always been there. Come on. We've always had these imperfections in our walk with God. We've had these struggles in our lives. We may have had these sins in our lives that's always been there. But what happens is when we begin to go into a time of prayer and fasting, it's like God begins to put a high definition microscope upon our lives. He reveals to us in our personal walk with God, in our secret place, in our devotion, God will begin to speak to us more clearly and say, hey, there's some things you need to work out in your mouth, in your language. There's some things in your life that you really need to give up. These are things in your life that may not necessarily keep you out of the kingdom, but they'll keep you from walking in power to Him. They'll keep you, they'll hinder your prayers. They'll hinder your fellowship with the Lord. They'll hinder you from being effective in the kingdom of God and His purpose for your life. So this is what prayer and fasting does. So I want to show you this. Again, I've not lost focus of what we're talking about here. Satan came and he tempted Jesus with 3 temptations that every one of us will be tempted with. And here they are in 1 John 2:15. Again, John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. See, when you begin to fast, it will take that desire and the taste of the world out of your mouth. Come on. And you'll begin to desire the things of the world and the Word. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, verse 16, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Did you catch it? Here's the 3 temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the 3 temptations that Satan came and attacked Jesus with and tempted him with. And these are the same temptations that are still used against us today. And I've said this before, but the 3 strongest impulses of the flesh, you listen to me, the 3 strongest impulses of the flesh are money, sex, and food. Again, if you're taking notes, money, sex, and food. These 3 temptations, these 3 desires, if these are not brought under subjection to the Holy Spirit, they're not brought into discipline through prayer and fasting, then friends, you will be driven by these things. You will be driven by these impulses. And these three things, food, money, and sex, has wrecked the lives of countless ministers, ministries, come on, and lives of individuals throughout history. All right. So again, he says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones or this stone into bread? Now, I find it interesting. Obviously, on a practical level, Jesus was Satan was trying to tempt Jesus as the Son of God to turn a stone into bread because he could eat it and he could eat and he could break his fast. So we get that under the practicality of this message. But I'm going to show you something a little bit deeper here. Okay, Satan was also tempting to make a situation that was very hard. See, the stone was hard. It was tough. It was difficult. So Satan was tempting Jesus to make something that was hard or something that was difficult, a situation to be made easy or painless. Come on. If we could go without prayer and fasting, then we wouldn't have to do it. If Jesus, being the Son of the living God, was led by the Spirit of God and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, if Jesus told us as the disciples that the day will come when the bridegroom will not be with you and he will be taken, and in those days you shall fast. If Jesus spoke to us in Matthew chapter 6 and said when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. He didn't say if. He didn't say if you feel like it and if you get a chance to and sometimes and you might. He says when you fast. Listen, I'm going to say it again. If the Son of the Living God had to fast to overcome the wiles and the temptations and the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the enemy, the plans, the schemes, and the assignments of hell, if Jesus himself had to fast for a period of time or for a season to get victory, what makes you and I believe that we don't have to do this? It's amazing to me when I hear the arguments against prayer and fasting. Well, brother, Jesus paid it all. He went to the cross. He did all this. So we don't have to pray. We don't have to fast. We don't have to give. We don't have to resist. We don't have to do anything. We can just sit on our couch, sit on our blessed assurance, and we can just eat, drink, and be merry because Jesus paid it all and we don't have to do anything. Friends, if I live that life, I don't know about you, just let me speak on my account for a second. If I live by that philosophy, if I went by what half the Christians that I hear tell me and didn't pray, didn't bring myself into subjection to the Holy Spirit, didn't discipline my flesh, never fasted, never gave, never come into covenant with God with my finances, never warred in the Spirit for my family, for the lost loved ones in my family, never entered into any kind of spiritual warfare, if I just sat on my blessed assurance and ate and drank and be merry and just let so whatever so be. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I would probably be already, I wouldn't even be sitting here today. I would already be dead. I'd be in the grave. I'd be in jail. I'd be in prison. My family would be broken up. My marriage would be dissolved. My children wouldn't be here today. Come on, somebody. I wouldn't have the blessings. I wouldn't have the breakthroughs. I wouldn't see the salvation of my mother. I wouldn't have had the salvation of my father. Because I'm going to tell you, friends, those are lies of Satan himself. If there was ever a lying spirit, it would be that right there, friends. Satan wants you and convinced you, and he wants to convince you to make a difficult situation as easy as it can be. Come on, I'm weary of any preacher that gets up and tells me, listen, why in the world would I get under and set under any preacher, an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, an apostle, whatever the case may be, whatever his office is in the body of Christ? There's no way I'm going to set under anybody who's going to tell me I don't need to fast and discourage me from fasting. You think I'm going to set under someone who's going to discourage me from giving to the work of the kingdom, discourage me from fasting, discourage me from praying for my family, discourage me from living a disciplined life and a life of sacrifice and taking up my cross, denying myself and following after Christ, you think I'm going to sit under a minister that lives a lascivious lifestyle, a loose lifestyle, that drinks whatever he wants to drink, come on, gets drunk on occasions, goes out, sleeps with whoever he wants to, has multiple affairs, doesn't care about his family, doesn't pray about his family, never fast. Come on, somebody. You've got another thing coming if you think I'm going to live and subject myself under some leader that's going to teach me that lifestyle. In other words, come on, guys, wake up. Again, Satan's coming to Jesus and says, look, I know it's difficult for you. And I know you're fasting right now, but listen, you've got the ability. I can make it real easy for you, and we can make this hard situation easy. Come on, most of us, listen, we don't want difficult times. We don't want to be tempted. We don't want to go through trials. We don't want to go through temptations. We don't want to go through tribulations. We don't want to go through sicknesses. We don't want to go through hardships. We don't want to go through marital problems. We don't want to go through problems in our finances. We don't want to go through problems in our children. I get it. But I'll remind you, friends, it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus to go through these difficult times to be tested, because God the Father knew on the other end of this thing was the blessing. And I'm going to show you that here in just a second. Every one of us will have seasons of being in the wilderness and a time of testing in which there will come a temptation to escape something difficult by looking for an easy way out. Come on, somebody. And then we see here in verse 6 or verse 5, then the devil took him. Somebody say the devil took him. The devil took Jesus by the hand, and he took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. In other words, he gave him a glimpse. He gave him a vision and showed him all the kingdoms. And the devil said unto him, quote, all this authority I will give you and their glory. In other words, you'll have the praises of the people. You'll have the applause of the people. You'll have the accolades. You'll have the recognition. You'll have the platform. They'll worship you. They'll cheer you on, Jesus. And all you got to do is worship me and surrender to me. Whew. Come on. And I got to show you this. Let me pull up my notes here. Satan tried to persuade him to surrender his will to the will of Satan, and in return would be given authority to rule, and listen to me, as a king over these kingdoms. Now watch this. Although Jesus will one day return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it was not the will of the Father for Jesus to be a king when he was revealed as the Messiah. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said in the beginning, it was not the will of the Father for him to be revealed as the king, but he was to come on the first hand as the lowly servant and as the Messiah. But he was to come as the servant. This temptation would have derailed the entire plan of the Heavenly Father. Did you hear me? If Jesus would have surrendered to this, it would have completely derailed the entire plan of the Heavenly Father for Jesus and his ministry on the earth. This is why Satan, why would Satan tempt the Son of God with something he already had authority over? Come on, does your Bible not say that in Colossians it says everything that was made, that could be made, that was made by him, and nothing was made without him making it? So who was it made by? Jesus. So he already had authority. He already had dominion. He was the creator of the universe. So how could Satan tempt the creator to be worshipped by the creation? Come on. The answer is simple. Many times, here it is, here's where it's going to be relevant to you and I. Many times in our walk with God, the Lord will call us out of what is familiar. Come on, Abraham. He'll call us out of our hometown. He'll call us out of over what is familiar, what we recognize, what is comfortable. But in this case, Satan was telling Jesus, listen, you can go back to your hometown. You can go back to what you was familiar with. You can go back to what you was comfortable with, and I will make it easy for you. Come on, I can prosper you where you shouldn't be and make you famous. Come on, somebody. But again, we must remember this, friends. What many times looks pleasant and easy is not always the will of God. Come on, just ask Joseph. Why couldn't Joseph just be elected to governor? Why couldn't he just be put in position of governor? Why did he have to go through the betrayal? Why did he have to be falsely accused? Why did he have to be put in prison? Why did he have to be forgotten for all those years? Because again, he went from the position through the trials, through the tribulations, through these things. And the Bible says when the fullness of his time had come, when his word came to pass, then it was fulfilled. So again, I don't know why or what is on the other end of your fast. I don't know what he's called you to do during this time of prayer and fasting. I don't know what's on the other end of the spectrum. I don't know what is the position. I don't know what the promotion is. I don't know what your healing may be on the other side. I don't know what that deliverance may be on the other side. I don't know what that breakthrough might be on the other side. I don't know what members of your family are in strongholds to Satan and shackles and chains and bondages of drugs and alcoholism and false doctrines and this and that. I don't know what can be broken through a time and season of prayer and fasting, but I'm going to tell you, friends, that if you'll just hold on, you'll keep in the Word of God, you'll keep doing what God's calling you to do, you'll keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye focused on Him. And listen, the temptation's going to come to make it easy. He's going to try to give you an easy way out. He's going to tell you to go this way, go that way. But the Bible says, look neither to the left hand nor to the right hand, but you got to stay focused and you got to remain in the course. Verse 8, and Jesus answered, listen, every temptation, he says, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he says, get behind me, Satan, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve. And then Satan brought him. In other words, he says, okay, he grabs him by the hand. And he says, I'm going to show you something else. Then he brings him to Jerusalem, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and says to him, if you're the Son of God, why don't you throw yourself down? Because the word has been written that his angels have been given charge over you and they'll protect you. So this is real interesting. I find it interesting that when we're in the heat of temptation, we're in the heat of our time of prayer and fasting, when we're right in the right dab in the middle of this, Satan will tempt you to do stupid stuff. What kind of a dummy would throw himself off of a building and quote a scripture when he throws himself off? You say, well, that's ridiculous that Jesus would even do that. Listen, friends, you know how many people do stupid stuff, and they don't do stupid stuff. They don't make stupid decisions when they're prayed up, when they've already fasted, when they're in the Word, when they've been in His presence. They make dumb and foolish decisions right in the midst of temptation, right in the midst of trial, right in the midst of adversity. Listen, that's when you'll make stupid decisions. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen, somebody? But Jesus had to answer him quickly. So I'm going to tell you, listen, guys, you got to get ready right in the midst of this season of prayer, right in the middle of this season of fasting. The enemy's going to tempt you to take an easy way out. He's going to tempt you to make stupid decisions. He's going to tell you to make foolish decisions. He's going to tell you to do this and do that. But you've got to remain focused. You've got to war with the word that's been spoken over you. You've got to get back into his presence. You've got to be obedient to what God has already spoken to you in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Amen. So now listen. All right. So here we go. Now comes the question. How did Jesus endure these three temptations? The answer is in the account of Matthew that tells the same story, but gives us the key. Okay. So we go over here to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. We go to Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Watch this. And he was led by the Spirit. Okay? And it says that, again, he released the Word of God. The key was he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Also, Jesus released the Word of God against these assaults. This is why I've said over and over again, we've got to have the Word. We've got to read the Word, meditate on the Word, hide the Word of the Word, the Word of the Lord in our hearts. And we've got to release that rhema Word when these trials and temptations come upon us. When you and I begin to fast, many times we expect immediate breakthroughs and blessings, but the reality is that adversity will be waiting to oppose us as it did with Jesus. So don't get discouraged if you've been in this thing 3 days, 7 days, and you're like, well, Brother Ricky, I don't see a breakthrough. I'm not getting anything. I'm hungry. Everybody else is going on. I don't see a breakthrough. I'm not getting healed in my body. I'm not getting breakthroughs in my finances, breakthrough in my health, breakthrough in my children. You got to hold on. Here, fasting will give us the ability to resist temptations, to get off course. But if we hold on, let me go over here. You ready? Finally, when we begin to believe for breakthrough, we will get it many times when we come out on the other side. Because you got to, let me go back over to the book of Luke. Watch this. Let me show you this. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 4. Here's what it says in verse 13. It says, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. And here's what it says in verse 14. And then, somebody say, and then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He returned in the power of what? And the power of the Spirit. Notice the power came during a time of prayer and fasting. Notice that when the time of prayer and fasting had ended, the temptations of Satan ended, and he came out on the other end full of power and full of the Holy Ghost. And your Bible says that he began to do the mighty works of the Father. He began to cast out devils. He began to heal the sick. He began to perform miracles. And it was through a time, listen, of prayer and fasting and humbling himself to the will of the Father. Friends, again, if Jesus had to do this as our ultimate role model, as our ultimate example, then you and I must follow the lead of the Spirit, follow the lead of Jesus Christ, our ultimate example. And listen, I don't know what your breakthrough is that you need, but I want to pray for you right now. Before we pray, before we end this broadcast, I want to encourage you, if you've not yet subscribed to us, followed us yet, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, you can go to our Facebook Live section right there and subscribe to us here on YouTube. Again, you'll see all that information to follow us on our main website. Again, we want to give it an opportunity to sow into this ministry. It's right there underneath the Facebook description. There's the link right there. You can go to here on End Time Headlines on our main website. You'll see this on YouTube as well. You can give electronically or give our main our physical mailing address by check or by money order. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, if you wish to support this ministry, you do that. Now, right now, before you guys check out, before you sign off here today, I want to pray for you guys. Many of you are seeking the Lord for breakthroughs. You're seeking the Lord for healing. You're seeking the Lord for answers. You're seeking the Lord for direction. You're seeking the Lord for healing in your bodies, healing in your marriages, restoration in your families, restoration with your sons, with your daughters, whatever the case may be. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I know we're in the middle of this thing. We're in the heat of the battle. I know there's temptations coming and throwing the towel. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the enemy will send lying spirits and doctrines of devils to come along and try to tell you, you don't need to pray, you don't need to fast, you don't need to give to God, you don't need to seek the Lord, you don't need to be diligent on Him, on seeking Him, you don't need to self-discipline, you don't need control. Listen, if there was ever a lying devil, that's a lying devil. You need to shut that, you need to shut your ears off from those lying devils and spirits. You need to shut that doctrine. You need to run from voices like that. You need to, come on, get in the Word of God like never before. Get in His presence like never before and begin to go to warfare. Come on, your children need you to enter into that secret place and go to warfare in the Spirit for your family. Come on, your wife needs you. Your husband needs you. Your church needs you. Come on, your employees need you. Your neighbors need you. And listen, God is desiring for you to catch on fire, to burn for Him and see your community turned up. Upside down, your family turned upside down, your church turned upside down in true, authentic revival. Why wait for somebody else? Why not you? Why not me? In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, come on, just receive this today. Father, we come to you today, Lord, in the power of agreement. Matthew 18, 19, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done. Father, we're coming to you as a collective body in the season of prayer and fasting. God, we know and we perceive and we recognize that the enemy, that Satan is coming to bring trials and temptations against us. Lord, he's tempting us to take an easy way out. He's tempting us to throw in the towel and give up. He's tempting us to stop praying, stop fasting, stop giving, stop seeking the face of you, oh God. But we know that anything that the voices of our own intellect try to tell us or the voice of the enemy tries to tell us, we know that if it doesn't line up with this word, if it's contrary to your word, if it's contrary to the Holy Spirit, if it's contrary to the doctrine of the apostles, if it's teaching us of a lifestyle of mediocrity, if it's trying to teach us a lifestyle of complacency, Lord, that we know that that's not of you. For you said those that walk and live by the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, I need voices in my life that challenge me. I need voices in my life that provoke me. Lord, provoke me to get into your word more, to provoke me to go to church more, to provoke me to fast more, to provoke me to pray more. God, I need leaders in my life that will encourage me, to challenge me to do this in my walk. God, I need groups of brothers and sisters that I can align with, that I can join forces with, that I can join hands with, that I can come into agreement with. Lord, that they've been through some stuff. Come on, somebody. Lord, I'm asking that you'd put them in our lives, put them in our brothers and sisters' lives, brothers and sisters, generals, fathers and mothers and spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, that they have gone through seasons of prayer and fasting, that they've seen breakthroughs, that they've had a diagnosis from the doctor that they wouldn't make it, that it was a negative prognosis, but they entered into a time of prayer and fasting and they came out on the other side and they're walking with a testimony of look what God had done. Lord, I'm looking for brothers and sisters that they were broke as a joke. They didn't have they didn't have anything in their name. They didn't know where they were going to get their next paycheck, but they begin to trust God. They begin to enter into a time of prayer and fasting. They begin to honor Him in their finances. They begin to step out in faith. They begin to tithe. They begin to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And God, just like that, Lord, it may not happen in 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, but suddenly somebody showed up at their doorstep and says, I don't even know why, but the Lord put it on my heart during prayer and told me to write a check to you, and there was a specific amount, and I come down today to bless you. God, these are the people that I'm looking for today. God, I thank you that you are still speaking in the earth. You're still speaking through men and women of God. You're still speaking through pastors. You're still speaking through prophets and teachers and evangelists and apostles today. You're still speaking behind the pulpit. You're still speaking in the church, out of the church. You're still speaking in the marketplace, behind closed doors, and still in the open square, God. Lord, you're not a God that's dead, but you're surely alive. The Spirit of God is still alive, and He's still operating in the earth. The gifts of the Spirit are still alive and well today. Some of you, I felt by the Holy Ghost right now when I said that. I was quickened by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord would say unto you, you've been seeking, and you've been asking for the gifts of the Spirit. You've read about them in the New Testament. You've read read about them in the book of Acts. You've seen their manifestation through the apostles that you've read about in the New Testament. You've read about them in books by generals and those of old. You've even seen them operate in the church in times past. But people has come along. Strange doctrines have come along. Doctrines of demons and devils, and even theologians that are not even filled with the Spirit, that are borderline agnostics, have come along, and they try to tell you that the gifts of the Spirit have been done away with. They try to tell you that these are the operation of the devil. But I've come by to tell you today that the devil is a liar. The gifts of the Spirit are still operable today. They're still, the Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Oh, the Bible says, seek earnestly the best gifts, covet the gifts, desire the gifts. Paul said, forbid not speaking in tongues. Oh, I right now I come into agreement with you. I don't care if anybody else don't. I don't care if your family shuns it, your church shuns it, or your pastor shuns it. Listen, this little old Kentucky boy right here believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I proudly tell you that I speak in tongues, maybe more than you all. I thank you, Lord, that I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I want to come into agreement with you right now through your time of prayer and fasting, that God would begin to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands. God, you see these hands. You see these hearts. You see these souls. God, begin to distribute as the Spirit wills, as He desires. Begin to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, gifts of healing, gift of miracles, faith, Lord God, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. All nine gifts, God, begin to release them in the body. Release them to the people right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the Lord God. We thank you today. Father, I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, people begin to see the deliverance of their loved ones. There's people here today that have been praying, have been fasting. The tears are streaming down. They're saying, God, I've been seeking the Lord for the breakthroughs and deliverances and the salvation of my family. Oh, I come by to tell you that Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole household shall be saved. Listen, I'm telling you, friends, I know what it's like to go 5 years. Listen to me. 5 years, I had that promise, and I had it in the back of my pocket when my mother was backslid. She was still drinking alcohol. She didn't have anything to do with church. She didn't want to have anything to do with the people of God, but she was backslid. She was lost, but God gave me a word, and it was Acts 16:31, and I believed that report. Even when the report in the natural wasn't lining up. And I put that in my back pocket and I held on to that promise. And for 5 years, I declared it, I decreed it, I received it. And I'm telling you, after 5 years, I saw it come to pass. Who am I speaking to today? I come into agreement with you. You shall see that promise come to pass in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you that you said you sent forth your word and you healed them. Lord, your word says in the word of the Lord that the word of the Lord goes forth and it will not return void, but it will establish, it will prosper that which it sent forth to do. God, so I release the word of the Lord for healing for people. You said by your stripes we were healed. By your stripes we are healed. You said that healing is the children's bread. You said in 3 John 2, beloved, above all things, I wish that thou may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. You said in Psalms 90 verse 10, you said man's years shall be 70 and 80 or more by reason of strength. I release that word upon somebody. You shall live and go to the grave and an old in full age. You shall live to see your children's children. You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. I declare over you Psalms 91 that says, with long life I will satisfy thee and show thee the joy of thy salvation. I speak over you the word of the Lord that declares that that sickness and disease shall be taken from the midst of you, according to the book of Exodus. For the Lord our God is your healer in Jesus' name. I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every disease in Jesus' name. Oh God, I'm asking that as we begin to humble ourselves through prayer and through fasting and intercession, God, that you said our healing shall spring forth speedily and quickly. Oh, there's some people here today that needs to be healed of the flu. Right now, you're laid up in the bed sick with the flu. It's in your body. It's in your family. I rebuke that influenza virus in your body and speak wholeness from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's your will that we prosper. You said in your word that you find joy in the prosperity of your servants. God, I know that there's a lot of people out there that speak against the people of God prospering, against people of God being promoted, against people of God being blessed. But God, I know by revelation of the Holy Spirit, God, I know by revelation of your word, God, that it's your will that we prosper, that we be the head and not the tail, and that we be above and not beneath, that we lend and not borrow. You said a borrower is slave unto the lender. God, you've not called us to be slaves, but you've called us to rule and to reign and be Lord, you've not called us to barely scrape by and live paycheck to paycheck, but you blessed us to be a blessing. Lord, in Jesus' name, you said in the book of Deuteronomy 28 that you would open your good treasure over us, that you would pour out blessings upon us, that we be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the country, and everywhere that we lay our hands to do, everything that we lay our hands to do, it shall prosper in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. I speak the blessings of God over your people. God, I come into agreement with them for breakthroughs in their finances, breakthroughs in their jobs, breakthroughs in their places of employment. God, may they be like Jacob who had a relationship with Laban, Lord God, and his wages changed 10 times, God. Lord, because the blessing of God was upon Jacob's life. Lord, your word says that Abraham was a man who, he was a friend of God, and he was wealthy. He was blessed, and so was his nephew Lot. Lord, your word says that they were so blessed that the land couldn't even contain them, and they had to split and part ways. God, you said in your word that you talk about Job, and it says that he was the wealthiest man of the land, the wealthiest of all the East. But Abraham was a friend of God, and Job was a man who feared God with all of his household, who shunned evil, and he was righteous before God. Lord, and I thank you, Father, that you gave these blessings upon the people of God because they were obedient to your word, because they feared you with their whole household, and because they had a relationship with you. Now, Father, I thank you that you said that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and they add no sorrow with it. So God, I thank you for blessing your people, prospering your people, excelling your people. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, with the authority of Jesus' name, that they shall succeed and not fail in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I declare blessings over ministries right now. Come on, if you're in a ministry, raise your hand right now. I don't care if you're a missionary. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, or an apostle. I don't care if you're a children's minister. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you just clean the church. I bless you today in the name of the Lord. And may you be blessed and may you excel. And I pray that what God has began in a little work with you will be blessed and prosper, and what he's opened in little in secrecy, he'll bless you and you'll succeed and he'll make it much in Jesus' name. He who is faithful over what is little, God will bless you and make you ruler over that which is much. May God promote you. May God excel you. May God begin to advance you and your ministry. Oh, come on, somebody. I felt the word here. Let me go over to the book of Joshua. Let me go over to the book of Joshua. Here, I got a word for somebody right here. Just quicken me. It's found in the book of Joshua chapter 3. Listen, if this is for you, you receive it. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, it said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Come on, hallelujah. Listen, if you don't want to receive that, I'll receive that for myself and for my family. Come on, do you receive that today? The Lord said to Joshua, listen, the same promise that he spoke to Joshua, you can receive this. "Today, I'm going to begin to exalt you in the sight of all men." Come on. God can exalt you in the sight of your employers, in the sight of your family, in the sight of your neighbors. God can exalt you. God can promote you so that all the people may know that the God you serve. Come on. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a broke God. We don't serve a sick God. We don't serve a missing God. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My Lord. We serve a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hill. The silver and gold is his, and the earth and the fullness thereof. And I'm telling you, friends, we serve that God, and God can make a distinction between those who serve him and those who do not. Come on. The psalmist said, "I was young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread." Come on. He said the young lions, they lack hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall never lack in any good thing. Whew. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me today. Come on, you better receive this prayer today in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for this prayer today. God, I speak restorations over marriages, God. Lord, in seasons past, where there's...
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.